a special thing or a pointer that is used while the Torah is being read. And this is the Taoists. Our brethren, the Messianic Jews, also are having a meeting today and they are reading the Torah. And they put this on. This is my first time in a Taoist. You can see it right away, right? That it's my first time. You can also button it up like this. I was hoping that they themselves would show us their clothing tonight. Dear brethren, today was supposed to be the Israel-themed evening, according to our program. Because, as Brother Len Grice said about our view of Israel, he said a lot of things about that, about this nation and about the people who live in this country. And I will tell my short testimony. Until 2006, I was thinking about Israel just in this way, that it's all inhabited by Jews that had rejected God. They went through the Holocaust. Perhaps they deserved it to some extent. And now they are probably very far from God because they only believe in the strength of their army and don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But when I was able for the first time to go to Israel with the Protestant group, I met our guide, who is a Jewish lady of Polish origin. Her name is Dvora Maur. And she was born in the same town as I was born, in Wałbrzych. And somehow, in this way, we got acquainted with each other. And I thought this was a sign for me from God. When I asked her if she would be able to lead a tour in Israel for us with the Bible in our hands, because it would be very important for us, she was very willing to do that. Especially since our group, which consisted of 14 brethren, was a very active group, very active Christians and active Bible students. She could see it right away. And she recognized it. She appreciated it. She was impressed by our knowledge of the Bible. There were a lot of questions and discussions, and it was all very positive. So when the next groups went to Israel, of the brethren who wanted to travel throughout Israel, we always had in mind that we were going to see not only the stones that remain there, even though they are very important. And we remember the scripture that if you don't speak up, the stones will. And in Israel, you can see that those stones do speak with a human language. In some places, they are there and they do speak for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And when we looked at Israel then, we thought that being among that nation, we have to look for contacts with the people who are also stones. They are live stones. And they are in the same fellowship, the same as we are. But the word Jesus is almost a swear word or a curse in that for them. Because in the name of Jesus, they were murdered. The Holocaust often was connected with the name of Jesus. But Yeshua is the most important, the most beautiful name they use. The difference for us, perhaps the difference is not huge, but for them it is. So we tried to look for believers, and thanks to our God, we did find them. There is Brother Heniu Krawczyk among us here. You can see him standing up. And God used him as a tool. He told me, go there and look for a conversation with those brethren because it's really worth your effort. For 6 months, I was building up my relationship with this group so that we could go and visit them. We gained mutual trust and we were able to meet with them. There were 3 meetings like this, and during these meetings we discovered that their faith is really unbelievable and they really, really love God in Yeshua or in Jesus Christ. It was a great discovery for us, and quite quickly we discovered that our views are very similar in many, many aspects. Of course, it's impossible for the views to be exactly the same, and there are some differences, we have to admit. But then during one of those trips, we decided, also Brother Wozniak was there, there was an idea, let's invite them here to our international fellowship so that we can all meet each other. This idea was being worked on and it almost happened. We invited 10 brethren from that class and they were going to come. The tickets were purchased, everything was prepared and planned and included in the program. But on July 22nd, I received a letter from these brethren, from our friends, and I would like to read this letter for you. Dear Brother Staszek, undoubtedly you and the brothers and sisters have been following the news concerning the attack on Israel from Gaza and Israel's response. Here in Israel, the news of our fallen and injured, warning sirens and missiles surrounds us constantly. With a heavy heart that I write to inform you that we cannot come. We must all cancel our participation in your conference. Until now, we have gone forward with our plans to visit you and to join with the brothers and sisters from all over the world at your Bible study conference. However, the time of the trip draws near, yet the war continues. So we have delayed our decision as long as possible, and the time has come to decide. Perhaps it would have been better had we canceled even earlier, but we so hope that this war would end quickly and allow us to visit you. We waited thinking that Hamas might agree to one of the ceasefires proposed by Egypt and others. Though Israel agreed, Hamas continued to fire thousands of rockets, sometimes hundreds daily at our towns and cities. We in Ma'ale Adumim have been in shelters twice. One rocket was shot down nearby with the debris falling in a field. The town name was mentioned, Ma'ale Adumim. It's a town very close to Jerusalem. It's almost one of its eastern quarters, perhaps 10 miles away from the center of Jerusalem. Back to the letter now. Jerusalem's population has had to flee to shelter several times. There have been also a few interruptions and some delays at the airport. A few national airlines are also refusing to fly to Israel for now. Hamas continues to attack with over 150 rockets per day and sometimes even more. Even as I write, sirens are sounding all over Israel. 76 rockets have been fired at Israel so far today, and there are hours to go, since some of them are fired during the night. They have struck schools, apartments, and residential streets. It's only due to God's grace and protection of His land and His people that more haven't been killed. The Iron Dome missile defense system recently developed by Israel is only able to stop some of the missiles. It is only employed when the missiles will likely hit highly populated areas. Even though only a few Israelis have been killed, many have been injured, not to mention the permanent trauma to the children and the elderly and the extensive damage to homes and businesses. We weep for the families of the many young men who have been killed. They were trying to locate and destroy the tunnels the suicide bombers and killers used to infiltrate into Israeli towns. Some of these tunnels are used to command centers, and most have large stores of missiles, bombs, and other weapons. These tunnels have taken years and over $1 million each to construct, while so many of their people there remain bitterly poor. Since the entrances to these tunnels are in homes, schools, and public buildings, our young soldiers are always at great risk. Among the tens of thousands of young men and women who have been recalled into service are sons, daughters, and grandchildren of our members. Our granddaughter, Ayelet, sons, Emmanuel and Ahuva, Sonia's sons, Eli and Sarah's grandson, and David and Eti are expecting Yair to be called up momentarily. We pray constantly and put our trust in God. However, as you might expect, we are all under great stress. We are sure you all will join us in praying for Israel and for the safety of our young men and women, neighbors and friends. We trust that you too always pray for God's peace for Israel. In hope that we could come, we have continued to prepare the presentation. We were all looking forward to being with you at your conference and meeting other members of your group when we would have more time to get to know them. Some of us were also looking forward to seeing Poland for the first time. Tell us, please, even so, what we can do. We can complete the presentation in a slightly different form that we planned, if you wish. We can include some of the questions and answers we were planning to present. We know that cancellations will all cost money. Those of us who are paying independently can perhaps send you the cancellation fee if you let us know the amount. We just hope that you won't forfeit the money so generously provided on the rooms or the planned tours as well. May God be with all His children as the world is in such great tumult. Perhaps the time is near when, as Zechariah wrote in chapter 12, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." We know the hope in the verses below. Meanwhile, we already see that the entire world is turning against Jerusalem. We don't know when the time that Judah and Jerusalem will be physically under siege, but when it does, their people will be empowered by God to defeat those who attack them. Though this will not come without terrible war, there is yet hope. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. May it be... May it be the outstretched arm of the living God of Israel, who soon will be seen by all the world to have preserved his land and his people. May Messiah Yeshua come soon to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Until then, may your Bible conference and your service be greatly blessed of the Lord. We look forward to the next time we can be with you and your wonderful group of brothers and sisters. In the name of our Lord and Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, built at David's request on behalf of the Hephzibah group. Brother David is their leader. This letter I called the Polish Airlines, the lot, where we had the tickets, and we started negotiating. Because as some of you may know, the Polish Airlines, following the example of some other airlines, stopped flying to Israel, but they also opened the opportunity to move the tickets to our dates. So I suggested to the brethren in Israel that they can even delay their decision to the very last moment, because the tickets could have been canceled even yesterday. On August the 1st, just a few days ago, I received the second letter. At last, a reply from me. Thank you for your sympathy and kind understanding. Like the brethren there, we too are disappointed. As you know, the news from here is still about war. This morning they finally, so far, succeeded to kidnap a soldier. We don't know his condition. Our hearts are heavy. Yes, we can lift up our eyes and see the end of the story. Meanwhile, we have to turn to the Lord on behalf of our families. On behalf of our families, friends, and neighbors. One of David's students of 2 years ago, David, the leader of the group, is a teacher of biology at the Hebrew University. He is a doctor of science. So one of his students from 2 years ago was killed a week ago in Gaza. He will go to comfort the family. So I'm sorry to say that the only option is staying here in Israel. I do hope that the only way this war is shortened is by the merciful hand of God fighting on our behalf. The television and radio are filled with the 10 spy stories who couldn't foresee victory over giants. They speak the depressive words of defeat constantly into the ears of the suffering population. Add that to the pressure of the rest of the world, and you can see the pressure on the government here. May God strengthen them and draw their eyes up to Him. Israel weeps for the children being killed in Gaza, no matter that most are killed by Hamas misfires, or perhaps deliberate. I remember when my brothers and husband were in Vietnam, it was the same with the Viet Cong. Children, women, elderly, their lives were sacrificed without thought to the goal of the communists there. And what about the Christian girls in Sudan? How horrible. What a tumult of evil God must be hearing from above. We must pray that He will rise up to spare the suffering of the innocent and to protect all who can call on His name, wherever they may be. May God be with you and with the house of Israel. This week we received the presentation from these brethren. You already started to see the first slide of this presentation, so we will now begin watching what the brethren have prepared for us. If you were hoping to see their faces, it will not be possible. These brethren are very protective of their image, and they do not allow to be photographed. So even if they were here with us, I'm not sure if we would be allowed to say to take pictures of them. I'm sure, though, that if they were here with us, it would be a very blessed time because they would be telling the stories about themselves. Before they were going to come here, I asked the brethren from various committees to send in questions, and I asked them what the expectations are from the friends who would be coming from Israel. I received lots of questions, probably 50 or 60, so I compiled them, and the result was 29 questions. Some of them were really difficult, theological, and very potentially with very long answers. So we thought that if we were to discuss all these questions, we would run out of time during several evenings, not just one. So they did send in their presentation about Israel, which we will see in a moment. And Brother Daniel Ivaniak is prepared to tell you what this whole presentation is about. This is very fresh. We just got the materials yesterday, some of them on Monday and some of them yesterday. So perhaps the translation will not be ideal, but I'm hoping that at least in part we will be able to see the spirit of what the brethren wanted to convey to us. And we will see how much time we have after the presentation. And we'll perhaps spend some time on presenting their answers to our questions about their lives. This is a reminder for the Polish brethren that they will need to use their headphones to understand the text because it will be read in three languages. So this is a presentation prepared by Hefziba Assembly from Ma'ale Adumim in Israel. I will bring you to the land in which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This is the land of Israel. God established the borders. The boundary then went up to Debir from the valley of Achor and turned north to Gilgal, which faces the ascent of Adumim, Ma'ale Adumim, south of the gorge. It continued along to the waters of Ein Shemesh and came out Ein Rogel. Ma'ale Adumim is the name of the town where our Israeli friends are from. Israel received the Torah at Sinai 50 days after Passover and the Exodus from Egypt. Solomon built the first temple in 957 BC. The second temple, built after return from Babylon, was destroyed by Romans on the 9th of Av in the year 70 AD. We have the view of Israel as a satellite photo here and the town of Ma'ale Adumim. Israel size comparisons. How big is Israel actually? In this slide we can see the comparison of the land of Israel to Poland, to Germany, to France, and then to a part of the United States. We see the proportion of this country to our countries where we came from. Israel in the Middle East. The modern nation on a portion of God's land. This slide also shows in the inset the proportion of Israel, the little sliver marked in yellow with as compared to all the countries around them. And for over 100 years the cry has been end the unjust Jewish occupation of Arab land. Israel, Ma'ale Adumim, our neighborhood. Ma'ale Adumim is a town of about 40,000 residents and it is located on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives. There is a tunnel road under the Mount of Olives that links Ma'ale Adumim to Jerusalem. The beige areas are Arab sections next to and in East Jerusalem. To the east, on your right, are the desert mountains which form a ridge between Ma'ale Adumim and the Dead Sea, which is about 20 minutes drive past Jericho. Ma'ale Adumim, this is the entrance to the town. Israel, Ma'ale Adumim, Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young. History of the land prior to the establishment of the State of Israel. Israel in the 19th century, Palestine is desolate. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through it nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. And in the photo we see Joseph's tomb in the 1800s, and it's located between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. in 1835 Alphonse de Lamartine could write, "Outside the gates of Jerusalem we saw indeed no living object, heard no living sound. We found the same void, the same silence as we should have expected before the entombed gates of Pompeii and Herculaneum. A complete eternal silence reigns in the town, on the highways, in the country. The tomb of a whole people." Mark Twain, who visited Palestine in 1867, wrote of what he saw as he traveled the length of the country. "Desolate country whose soil is rich enough, but is given over wholly to the weeds. A silent, mournful expanse. A desolation is here that not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We reached Tabor safely. We never saw a human being on the whole route." And again, Mark Twain writes, "There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of a worthless soil, had almost deserted the country." So overwhelming was his impression of an irreversible desolation that he came to the grim conclusion that Palestine would never come to life again. As he was taking his last view of the country, he wrote, "Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes. Over it broods the spell of a curse that has withered its fields and fettered its energies. Palestine is desolate and unlovely." By Volney's estimates, in 1785, there were no more than 200,000 people in the country. In the middle of the 19th century, the estimated population for the whole of Palestine was between 50,000 and 1,000 people. It was the gaping emptiness of this country, the spectacle of ravages and neglect, the absence of a population that might be dispossessed, and the growing sense of the country's having waited for the return of her banished children that lent force and practical meaning to the awakening Christian realization that the time had come for Jewish restoration. And we can see Jerusalem from the northeast. Nebi Samuel, Prophet Samuel's tomb. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces east, and it was shut. And he said to me, "This gate shall remain shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it. For the Lord and the God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall remain shut. Only the prince may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gate, and shall go out by the same way." In the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Yet in Jerusalem and scattered throughout the land, there always remained a remnant of the people of Israel, like in this photo from 1895. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. In 1922, the British were given a mandate to rule Palestine and establish a Jewish homeland. The land east of the Jordan was to be an Arab state, and with the Jewish national home to form the sub-districts of historical Palestine. Jewish Palestine, or Israel, west of the Jordan River, which in the map is marked in dark yellow, and Arab Palestine, or Transjordan, east of the Jordan River, which on the map is shown in lighter yellow color. Arabs, however, from then until now, rejected all proposed borders that included a Jewish homeland. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, and I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they went too far with the punishment. The history of persecution in the world, from frequent local pogroms to the organized genocide, namely the Crusades and the Inquisition, reached a new level of efficiency during the Holocaust, in which 6 million Jews were murdered. Children alone, parents alone, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, starved and murdered for the crime of being a Jew. Ezekiel 16:6. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. On the train to Auschwitz, most were unaware of the suffering awaiting them. In concentration camps, death did not come quickly. Death did not come easy. Crowded into trains, they were taken to prisons where they became numbers with no names, erased from life as though they had never lived. The world intended genocide. God promised life in a new land. And in a moment we will hear the Kaddish, the mourner's prayer, recited by a Jewish man. Glorified and sanctified be God's great name throughout the world, which He has created according to His will. May He establish His kingdom in your lifetime and during your days, and within the life of the entire house of Israel, speedily and soon, and say, Amen. May His great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. Blessed and praised, glorified and exalted, extolled and honored, adored and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed be He beyond all the blessings and hymns, praises and consolations that are ever spoken in the world. And say, Amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all Israel, and say, Amen. He who creates peace in His celestial heights, may He create peace for us and for all Israel, and say, Amen. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. And thus on May 14, 1948, the nation of Israel is reborn. And we can see here in the inset the original document from President Truman that shows recognition of the newly created State of Israel. The text says, "This government has been informed that a Jewish state has been proclaimed in Palestine and recognition has been requested by its provisional government. The United States recognizes the provisional government as the de facto authority of the State of Israel." Harry Truman, approved May 14, 1948. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts, and a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, My cities will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion, and again choose Jerusalem. This is the western wall of the Temple Mount, restored to Israel along with the Old City in 1967. And on the right we have a street in the Jewish quarter of the Old City. In Israel, in the 21st century, the desert blossoms. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Israel astounded the world by surviving the 1948 combined attack of the Arab nations. God was truly the victor then, and so it has continued. Against all expectations, miraculously and by God's grace, Israel survived the 1967 and 1973 wars. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. From 1948 until today, non-state guerrilla warfare has killed many Israeli civilians, frequently forcing Israel to take military action in defense. Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, Fatah in Judea and Samaria, and others around the world seek to destroy Israel. Thus, war punctuates the lives of every generation. Israel confronted Fatah in Lebanon in 1982, Hezbollah in Lebanon in 2006. Between years 1950 and 2014, suicide bombers were sent into Israel. And from 2005 through 2014, Hamas has been using human shields in Gaza. In Israel of the 21st century, there are many inventions that benefit the world. Psalm 51:18. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. And among those inventions we have electronics and systems, military technology, internet high-tech, healthcare and medicine, irrigation and agriculture, solar energy, water treatment, and optics and laser technology. Eternal Israel, God's covenant with Israel. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order to somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Dear brethren, we did not see our brethren from Ma'ale Adumim, but we could hear them. Those were their voices, their singing. They sing and play musical instruments beautifully. They would probably bring some of their CDs with them, and we could purchase them as well. But God has planned it differently. I think it's also an important lesson for us. We live in countries from which we can safely travel, we can safely return. And this country and this nation, in spite of God's blessing and design for this state, is still being tested. We know about many reasons why it is happening, and they know it as well. One of those pictures showed the size of Israel compared to other countries, to Poland, Germany, France, and the United States, and also to the Arab countries. Perhaps you noticed that the shape of the country resembles a telephone receiver. And when we visited with them and we talked about their relationship with God and about the protection and how they experience it, they told us that there is a little joke, a humorous saying in Israel that between the presidents of the United States and Russia, there is a hotline or a direct line, and where there is a danger, they can talk right away. And the Israelis say, we have a direct connection with God. And I think that's the point of their faith. Who are they? It's probably quite interesting for many of us. Until 2006, I did not know that there could be a Jew believing in Jesus Christ or Yeshua. But my image of that nation, of the whole environment, started to change. I started to be much interested in it. And many Jews say that about 1.5 million of Jews living in the world today are Messianic Jews, but this can be a little misleading because it's not quite true or precise about the brethren from Ma'ale Adumim that we were going to meet. In reality, other Jews believing in Jesus as Messiah, living in Israel, say that perhaps there is about 15,000 of them that officially declare their faith. But there is an important detail. When we were in 2006 in Israel, they said that as far as they knew, there were just 6,000 or 7,000 of believers. If the information they gave us now is correct, you can see that it pretty much doubled within a few years. So it's exponential growth. For many of us, perhaps, Messianic Jews, many of us Messianic Jews can cause different emotions. But maybe I will read answers to some of the questions, not all 29, just some of those questions that we asked of the brethren from Israel. Would you like to listen? When you get tired, just let me know. One of the first questions that we asked them was, how did you come to believe in Yeshua as the Messiah? Our testimony is every man's testimony. Some of us came to faith by seeing another life in faith. Some of us found faith when we sought healing for pain or crisis. And some of us learned from a family member or a close friend. Are our stories unusual because of the house of Israel? Perhaps so. For many of the people of Israel, to believe in Yeshua is not even a consideration in light of what was done to our people in the name of Christianity. It has always been a threat to our national and personal existence. For some who have heard or even studied about Yeshua the Messiah, this can be an impossible barrier to break through. So yes, the personal answer will depend on whom you ask. However, that is not a story for the writing, but a testimony for the telling. For in the telling, no less than in the hearing, faith is strengthened. And then they tell us that they are very sorry they couldn't tell us about all that in person. Then we ask them to tell us something about their family history, where their families came from, and what motivated them to move to the land of their fathers. In general, Jews have returned from almost every country in the world. Our own families have come to Israel from a wide variety of places such as Turkey, United Kingdom, USA, Tunis, France, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, South America, South Africa, Australia, etc. There's about 70 brethren in that class, and you could hear how many countries I listed that their families came from. The motivations for coming home to Israel were common to most who came. Zionism, faith, the Holocaust, and widespread hatred, anti-Semitism and persecution of Jews around the world just because they were Jews. So for 2,000 years, every day, the Jews of the diaspora have expressed their historical longing for the return of the people of Israel to the Promised Land. All Jewish prayers, both read and spoken aloud in the synagogues twice, three times a day, include a request, prayer, and hope for the return to the Holy Land, restoration of the land, and the nation of Israel, and the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the Temple. So yes, each of us has come from a different place and a different culture, members of different generations, for a primary reason: to be part of the house of Israel in the land of Israel, the inheritors of the land God set aside for his people. We also asked them about their meetings and services, and they said that all of their meetings follow the Jewish calendar. We do not celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday. We do not celebrate any of the so-called Christian holidays. So they have the Erev Shabbat meeting, which starts on Friday evening. And they have a special dinner in their homes for welcoming of the Shabbat. Then they meet to read and hold an informal discussion of the parasha of the week from the Torah. Then they also have weekly Shabbat meetings. Those take place on Saturdays, and they meet in the morning for about 2 to 9.5 hours. They recite the prayer Shema Israel, and it's usually led by a male member of the congregation. They read, they sing. They have a sermon given by one of the elders for about 1 hour, and then there is more songs and prayers and recitation of the Lord's Prayer aloud together. After that, this meeting ends around noon. Everybody continues to observe the Sabbath until sunset on Saturday. There are also other holidays. They have weekly meetings on Mondays usually. There is the meeting Rosh Chodesh, that's the beginning of the new month during the new moon. And there are many other holidays such as Pesach or Passover, Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the year, Purim, Sukkot, Tisha B'Av. They listed lots of those holidays, but we don't really have time to go in all the details. The next question was, how are the Messianic Jews treated by other Israelis? And the answer was, Israel is a democratic state. According to the Declaration of Independence, there can be no discrimination between citizens according to religion, race, or gender. Most Israelis are liberal and tolerate our faith and religious concepts. It's the Haredim among the Jewish people who stand against us. Haredim are very conservative Jews. Sometimes they even take up physical action against us or ban us in this way or that way. However, where believers have behaved with God's wisdom and not provocatively, no severe damage has normally been inflicted. There have been exceptions over the years, but not many. Another question was, how do other Messianic Jews behave towards you? I would say let's listen closely to hear the differences, and you will understand why it is this particular group that we wanted to invite to our convention to participate in the fellowship. So the answer to this question about how other Jews, Messianic Jews, treat them is they mostly ban us. So this assembly is being banned by most other Messianic Jews because there are four issues which separate us. First one is the Torah. We believe that as Jewish believers, we are obligated to keep the Torah according to God's commandments, and as Yeshua commanded, even adding to the strictness of the commandments. We have lots of quotes here as well, the references, but we don't have enough time for everything. The second point concerns the chosen people of God. The Jewish people is still the elect, the chosen people of God, in spite of history and in spite of the general rejection of the Messiah in the past. Don't forget that a significant number of Jews were openly believers, and there has always been a remnant, though persecuted by the church. We do not believe that replacement theology is supported by scripture, and we also have references here for that. The third difference concerns the land of Israel. The land of Israel was and is promised to the house of Israel. It should be, according to prophecies, from the Mediterranean on the west to the Euphrates and Tigris rivers on the east, from the river of Egypt, that is Nile, on the south to Lebanon and Damascus on the north. The Lord will fulfill His promise in the fullness of His time. In the meantime, the nation of Israel is established in the land of Canaan as designated by Hashem, who divided it according to the portion to be given to each tribes. And the fourth point is the Trinity. We do not accept the body of theology referred to as Trinity. There is only one God, the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the God of Israel. And there is one mediator, Yeshua the Messiah, who is the Son of God, as well as Son of Man and Son of David. There are no three persons in one. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. Thus, in light of our belief, the body of the Messiah or other Messianic Jews by and large rejects us, and for some of them we are even heretics. Therefore, they have nothing to do with us. Another question was, what is your attitude towards the ultra-Orthodox Jews, the Haredim, or towards the non-believing Israelis? Throughout history, Judaism has been represented by a portion of the Jewish population that was Orthodox. Were it not for the faith and lifestyle of obedience practiced by these Orthodox Jews throughout the centuries, the Jewish people would likely have been absorbed into the nations, becoming extinct. The Orthodox continued the ways of the sages and the Pharisees, but over the centuries continued to develop the body of oral law and have all but forgotten the prophets and the books of the First Testament. An important comment here, every time that we visit Israel, we go to see the Yad Vashem Institute, the Holocaust Remembrance Place, and we always remember one important event there from the past of Israel. If it wasn't for the believing Jews, especially the rabbis who practiced for the whole nation in the diaspora and showed the faith and religion, this nation would have disappeared and would be extinct now. If it wasn't for the faith and the Torah, the nation would not be here anymore. And paradoxically, thanks to the faith and their beliefs, they were murdered during the deathly Holocaust. But the nation is still alive. As for non-believing Jews, we pray for salvation for both the secular and the Haredim. We pray that they will come to know the God of Israel and His Messiah Yeshua. We try to live our lives as a testimony before them. Just as you do not participate in the lifestyle and certain activities of the unbelievers, neither do we. We also do not participate in the lifestyle of the Haredim. In general, it can be said that we are closer to the secular Jews and to Orthodox religious Jews than to the Haredim. Another question. What does it mean to be a Messianic Jew? How does it impact your everyday life, relationships with other Jews and Christians? First of all, what is a Messianic Jew? Is it any Jew who believes that there was, is, or will be a Jewish Messiah? Historically and today, there have been and continue to be many who follow other Jews as Messiah. So then, can this term be used to designate a Jew specifically as a believer in Yeshua as the only Messiah? Shouldn't the words in the title used to define us be more specific, such as to say that we are Jews who believe in Yeshua as the Messiah? What influences our daily lives and faith is that we are Torah observant Jews, that's our lifestyle. We believe in one God of Israel, that's our faith. And in Yeshua the Messiah, that's our hope for salvation. Unfortunately, in Israel and abroad, a significant number in the community of believers who have taken this title upon themselves hold to mainstream church views on topics such as those discussed in one of the previous questions. Therefore, we cannot accurately be considered part of the Messianic Jewish community. We do not participate in the Messianic functions in part because we can't agree with the teachings and activities at many of the functions, but mainly because they don't want us there. Again, they consider us heretics, as we said in one of the questions. We have deep differences in the understanding and application of the Word of God, which touch the very essence of who God is. Some of these differences, such as the Trinity and obedience to the Torah, are too wide to bridge. It should be clear, however, that we can and do have various levels of social interaction with many Jews and non-Jews who believe in the Messiah, Yeshua, whether it be at life ceremonies, social functions, and of course when others come to visit us or we go abroad. We often find Gentile Christians or believers who believe much the same as we do, and that is a special blessing for us. Next question. Should we as Christians pray for anything in connection with Israel? If so, what or who? If not, why? And the answer is, yes, you should. Please. Pray for the salvation of Israel and acceptance of Yeshua as the Messiah. Pray that the prophecies regarding Israel be fulfilled. Pray that Israel's restoration will be seen as an example of God's love and faithfulness and will become an example to the nations of faithfulness to God. Pray that the Jews from around the world will return to the promised land and pray that the kingdom of the Messiah will soon be established in Zion, in Jerusalem. Next question, how are Christians treated in Israel? Can they easily carry on their activities, including witnessing? Israel is a democracy with freedom of religion. However, there are sometimes threats or vandalism to Christian property in certain areas. There is a minority among the Haredim or ultra-Orthodox that behave somewhat aggressively toward the churches. Normally, believers are left alone as long as they respect the traditions and customs of Israel. There is an anti-mission law that forbids bribery or using influence to cause a Jew to change his religion to Christianity. It is also expressly forbidden to witness to a minor. There is a 5-year penalty for breaking this law. We do not see handing out tracts or preaching on the streets as a positive or effective witness in Israel. Witnessing should be done as part of one-on-one relationship, not as Christian missionary activity. The greatest persecution of Christians in Israel is of Christian Arabs by the Muslim community. The Muslims haven't dared to cause many problems for the non-Arab Christians, but the majority of Christian Arabs have fled the land due to threats to their lives and worse, by the Muslim authorities. Bethlehem is a clear example of that. What is the approach of the Messianic Jews towards keeping the rules and regulations of the law? The answer is really short, although we expected a long one. Just as the church is split into multiple factions, so too there are many factions and a variety of theologies concerning the keeping, or not, of the law among Jewish believers. The first view, there are those that don't believe that the Torah or the law is relevant today in any form. The second view, there are those that believe that only some of the laws of the Torah must be obeyed. And the third view, there are those that believe that grace negates the obligation to obey the Torah. How do you understand the doctrine of ransom for all? The ransom was paid for all. The word all in the Bible is a general term inclusive of all men. However, the fact that the ransom is paid and salvation is available to all does not mean that all, as in every individual, will actually choose it. Are you very tired yet? Perhaps just two more questions, if I may. In connection with our discussion about the Gentiles in Jerusalem, we asked them how they understand this prophecy, and they answered, "This has happened throughout history, the Romans, the Muslims, the Crusaders, the British, and others. Until Israel has complete domination of Jerusalem, it remains trodden down by other nations. In the future, the third temple from Ezekiel will be built and fulfill its purpose." And one more question. How do you understand the words from Isaiah, "Comfort ye my people"? How can Christians fulfill these words? Today, those who truly believe need to stand up for the state of Israel. They need to set an example of support for Israel, especially now when anti-Semitism is again becoming strong and widespread. Yeshua said just this, where he speaks of his brothers, saying, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' These brothers refers to the people of Israel, and this is a crucial test for Gentile believers." There's a number of other questions, but I'm sure you're quite tired right now. Perhaps we'll try to prepare these questions and answers for those interested in a format that will be available to you. But just to finish the last words they wrote at the end of their letter, "We are really sorry we have not been able to be there with you this evening. We know that it is not possible to provide the same level of answers as if we were there. We pray that your convention has been spiritually fruitful and that we have been able to add some small amount to your understanding of Israel, our faith, God's land, and God's people. May God abundantly bless you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Fellowship Heftzibah." I'm sure that if these brethren were amongst us today, there would be smoke coming out, just like out of Mount Zion when God gave Israel the commandments, because they sing beautiful songs with great enthusiasm. And they're also able to answer very difficult, very tough questions with much intelligence and much knowledge. God planned it differently, so we are here tonight without them. But I would also like to tell that there are 70 of these brethren, and some of the other Jews that say that they are Messianic Jews really are not of the same beliefs. They are quite isolated, and perhaps it would be good to take advantage of our presence here, perhaps your love for them, for those that you don't know yet. And we can do it in the form of greetings. Brother Andrzej Dombek has prepared 2 big sheets of paper, which we would like to leave in the hallway. And please sign them. Those of you who feel that you would like to express your support for these brethren, sign your name, perhaps write something pleasant, and we will send it to them as soon as we can. I think support from 1,000 brethren will be very, very important to them. They will see that they are not alone. And for those who are more interested in this subject and learning more about these brethren, perhaps we can go together to Israel, take a trip. We are planning such a trip for the end of April, beginning of May next year. And this class has invited us to participate in their meeting according to their tradition. We will be able to see them face to face, meet them. And if you would like to participate, I would like to invite you to do so. Brother Andrzej Dombek also prepared a beautiful card. We can perhaps show it on the camera. So on the left it says Polska, which is Poland, and then Israel on the right. And we have a poem here. Probably you can see it better than I can right now. This will also be included in the greetings that we send to them, and it includes a verse from Revelation as well. Thank you very much, brethren, for the fellowship, and I apologize for making it so long. Thank you very much. Many blessings from God. Thank you, Brother Len and Brother Staszek. As you can see, every day we stay here later and later. If the convention lasted 2 weeks, you can just imagine what would have happened. We will end with a hymn now, end with a prayer, and Brother Honkish will pray after the hymn. Tomorrow we will also have breakfast at 7, so we'd like to see you, and the meetings here start at 9.